Good morning. If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 4, starting in verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now live with is not your husband. In that you truly spoke." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship, or you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for this service, for each member who's gathered here today, for each visitor, for each one who's under the sound of my voice. We pray for all those churches around about us and for all those who are bringing the message, Lord. And we pray that through the Spirit you will speak to them, speak to their hearts. And Father, that they would be convicted, that they would be uplifted, that they would go away saying that they have been in the house of God and that they would be drawn closer to you. We thank you for this message, and we ask that you would speak the words you would have these folks to hear. In thy name we pray. Amen. Jesus was on a trip. It was hot and it was dry. And it was along about 12 o'clock. And some of you that are old enough remember working in the fields around here and how hot and dry and thirsty you would get. And a drink of water was really precious at that time. I always hesitated to take that first drink, though, because then it seemed like you couldn't get enough. You wanted more and more and more. But Jesus stops at a well, and he does something strange, because men did not speak to women unless they were in their own household. And he was also going through Samaria, and Jews did not like Samaritans because Samaritans had mixed their religion with some other aspects of the Jewish religion, and so it was watered down according to some. It wasn't exactly kosher according to some. It wasn't exactly pure, and so they avoided it. They would even walk for miles to go around this area not because the people would attack them, but simply because they didn't want to be associated with them. And so Jesus stops at this well and he sits down. It's the middle of the day. Scripture says it's the sixth hour. And he sits down at the well and this woman comes to draw water and he says, "Woman, give me a drink." Well, she's shocked. She's absolutely shocked. "What do you have? Why are you asking me this? How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me to get you a drink?" How often do we shun other people just like the Jews were shunning the Samaritans? How often do we avoid people on the street? How often do we avoid people? And we say, "Oh, we're not prejudiced." We say, "Oh, well, I don't have any race issues. I don't have any prejudices." But we skip over these people simply because they're not exactly like us. Simply because, and we're not doing anything wrong. We're not doing anything wrong. I just don't really want to talk to them. I don't really want to be seen standing next to him. I don't want to be seen talking with her. They don't talk the same way I do. They don't say the same things I do. And how often we do that. And we're finding out that things in this country are coming to, they're getting worse and worse. They're actually coming to a boiling point. And lately, Kathy and I have watched a couple of movies. We watched Hidden Figures about the people of color who helped with the NASA program and how they were treated back in the 60s. And then we watched one about integration in Alabama and Birmingham and how these people were treated. And people didn't really, a lot of these people, there were a few bad people, but people didn't really mean to treat these folks wrong. But can't you see when Jesus said to love one another, he wasn't talking about that I just love Wink because Wink is just like me, or that I just love Holly because Holly thinks like me, or I just love Debbie because she's such a sweet person. He's telling me to love everybody. He said, and we talked about this in Sunday school this morning when we're studying Ruth and Naomi, and he said to love your enemies. He's not just talking about those sitting in the church. He's not just talking about those you associate with when you watch NASCAR or football or high school football, whatever you do. He's not just talking, he's talking about the people that really rub you the wrong way. People who get under your skin. People who actually are hard to get along with. People who do you wrong. He's not just talking about those that you disagree with. He's talking about people who do you wrong. And we all are sitting here looking at the preacher, and the preacher himself is thinking, "This is impossible to do. I don't like people who do me wrong." And yet Jesus is telling me to love them. The only way we can do that is through the power of Jesus Christ. If you go on and read this passage, he says, "If you knew the gift of God." Do you know the gift of God? We all think the gift of God, the main gift of God, is salvation. And he goes on and talks about rivers of living water. And yes, that's the gift of God, is salvation, eternal life. That's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And we all, most of us in this room, enjoy the promise of eternal life. If you don't have that, you need to be thinking about it in a mighty way. But let me tell you this, he's also saying, do you know the gift of God? And if you know the gift of God, then we are to share the gift of God. The gift of God is not for one individual. If you want to know what's wrong with America today, if you want to know what's wrong with our churches, if you want to know what's wrong with the community around us, it's because we all want to point fingers and say, "I'm not getting this done my way." We don't need to worry about whether it's my way, whether it's your way, whether it's somebody outside these walls' way. We need to worry about whether it's Jesus' way. He's the one we've got to answer to, every one of us. We can bicker and fight and carry on with everybody around. The whole country can do this. The government can do it. We all can do it. But when it's all said and done, we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. We're not going to stand before each other. We're not going to stand before each other and have to confess. We're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ, and He's going to ask you why you did it. You claim to be a Christian. You claim to have the love of Christ, and I commanded you to love one another as I have loved you. Now you tell me what's the justification for the way you've been acting. And when I think about that, I have no answer myself. The only answer I have is that I am a sinner and that I have listened to Satan more than I have listened to Jesus Christ. The lady said, "Give me a drink." Well, actually, she said that a little later on. First of all, she said, "You don't have anything to draw with, and the well's deep." She was looking at the very practical side of it. She was probably thinking, "You're going to climb down in there and get you some water?" She said, "Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than Jacob?" See, they put a lot of stock in the old patriarchs. Are you greater than Grandpa? Great-grandpa? Are you greater than the man who dug this well? Led the people of Israel? Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of the water of this water will thirst again." You see, all these things that we're doing in the name of Christianity, all these things we're doing as a church that we think are right, if we don't pray, if we don't seek the Holy Spirit's guidance, if we don't seek Christ's guidance, if we're not absolutely 100% sure that God wants us to be doing this, saying this, thinking this, then we are drinking the water from that hole in the ground. We're drinking that water that once in about 2 hours we're going to need some more of it. And then about 2 hours later we're going to need another cup of that. Because it don't last. It dries up. It leaves us. Jesus is talking about eternal living water. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming from us, coming from Him and working through us. He's talking about when you drink of that water, when we make sure that what we're doing is in line with the Holy Spirit, when we make sure that our lives are doing what the Spirit tells us to do, when we are witnessing and working in a lost and dying world and not fighting among ourselves and not trying to do our own agenda, which is what, and I'm not picking on Cornerstone, this is going on all over the United States. This is going on all over Surrey Baptist Association. This is going on everywhere. Churches all over are having problems because we have come to the place where we think that we know as much as God. We're not teaching our children to fear God. How often do you hear the phrase, the fear of God? We're not supposed to be afraid of Him and trembling, but we're supposed to have that respect that you used to have when your daddy come out with a switch about 3 foot long and you knew your daddy loved you, but you knew he was going to discipline you anyway. Me and Matt and Deanna was having this discussion a while ago. God is a loving God, yes, but God is also a God of wrath, and He's not going to let us get away with any sin. He's not going to let us get away with having these thoughts. He's not going to let us get away with saying these things. He's not going to let us get away with this sin. He is going to take the rod to us. And you say, "Well, now, I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven." Yes, you are, but you still got to have the Everything still has consequences. You can't lose your salvation. Scripture tells us that Jesus said, "The Father gives them to me, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." No one. Satan can't take you back. But He also says in Romans that when we sin, that God gives us over to the wrath of that sin that we committed. You want to get in trouble? Then you got to pay the price. You want to go your way, then you got to pay the price. You want to do this and you're not absolutely sure it's God's will, then it's not going to work out. We need to be dipping from the living water and not from the hole in the ground. The water from the hole in the ground is coming from Satan. It'll seem like the right thing and it'll taste so good, but it'll never quench your thirst. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Call your husband and tell him to come down here." So He already knew what was going on in her life. And she said, "Sir, I have no husband." He said, "Yeah, I know. You've already had five, and the man you're living with is not your husband." The woman said to him, "I believe you're a prophet. You know what's going on in my life." I always laugh at that. Scripture makes it plain that God knows every thought we have. He knows what you're thinking about what I'm saying right now. That's a scary thought. He knows what I'm thinking all the time, and that scares me to death because I have some really bad thoughts. And it scares me to death that he knows what I think. It's bad enough that he knows what I say, but it's really bad that he knows what I think. He knows everything we think. He knows what we're going to do. He knows we're going to sin. He knows we're going to fail. She said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say you worship in Jerusalem." She's more or less questioning about where she needs to worship, because I think she's realized this is God talking to her. And Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." And he goes on to say, "But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Now, if you look at the Word of God, if you will take that Bible out of that pew and turn to this passage and look at it, when he says the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, the spirit is not capitalized. He's saying that when you come into this house, or when you worship wherever, you may come here, but you need to come with a heart that is seeking God. You need to come with a heart that is saying, "Through the Holy Spirit, God, connect me with you." He's saying that you have got to work through your own spirit and the Spirit of God to connect with him. You don't need to come in here worrying about what's going to be said. You don't need to come in here worrying about how the choir is going to sound. You don't need to come in here worrying about who's here, who's not here. You don't need to worry about any of the things that we worry about that's going on in this world. You need to come in here and focus on God. Worshiping God. Do you realize how often we come in here and our minds are drifting everywhere and we say, "We went to worship service." And if God came down and stood before us right now, he would say, "No, you wouldn't. You was worried about what so-and-so said in Sunday school. Or you was thinking about where you going to go eat in 30 minutes. Or you wish he'd shut up so you could go eat in 30 minutes. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't come with a pure motive. We are supposed to come. John, we're studying Revelation on Wednesday night, and John said, "I was in the Spirit." John was on a barren rock, and the only thing he could do was worship God, and he got into such a spirit, and then the angel of the Lord came down and spoke to him and gave him the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to come in here and immerse ourselves in God. We're supposed to immerse ourselves in his word, immerse ourselves in thinking about what he's saying to us. Not what he's saying to him or her, but what he's saying to me. What is God saying to me? He's also saying that the place doesn't really matter. To the Jews and to the people of that era in the Old Testament, places were extremely important. That was the only place you could find God. Well, now let me tell you something. This sanctuary, this building is holy. But he's saying that's not the only place you can find God. You can worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." We are to worship him in spirit. And we are to recognize that what he tells us in these words, this book is alive. This book is the truth. This book is Jesus Christ talking to you and me. He tells us in this book that in the latter days he will not communicate by angels, and not much by visions, but he will communicate by his word and the Holy Spirit. So when we worship, we focus on Jesus Christ, and we focus on what the Holy Spirit is teaching us about Jesus Christ, and we focus on the truth of the Word. We draw water, living water, from this book. How much time do we spend watching reality shows? Movies on Netflix or something of that nature is a big thing anymore. How much time do you spend sitting there with that phone going like this? We used to do thumb wrestling when I was a young guy, you know. Now thumb wrestling is with your phone for a lot of people. How much time do we need to take of what we do, all that other stuff, and spend it in living water? And how much difference would that make in our church, in our jobs, in our families, our marriages? How much difference would it make in the world? God says it would make all the difference. It would make all the difference. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 7, Jesus, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they had a tradition where you could declare all your possessions and your income as Corban, and if you did that, it was set aside for the work of God, and you didn't have to even support your elderly mother and father. You didn't have to do anything with it. Jesus said in verse 7, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Preachers used to say lip service. We do lip service to God. Is there living water coming to you, and is there living water flowing out from you? Jesus told this lady that there would be rivers of living water. When you are saved, when you come to Jesus Christ, when you accepted Him, you were baptized with the Holy Spirit. That means you were immersed with the Holy Spirit. He lives within you, and the Holy Spirit is the living water going out from you. It is supposed to flow from you also. That's why He gave us the command to go and to save and to teach, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to make that decision, because you're going to keep drinking from Satan's well. And I don't think I have to explain what that's going to lead to. But if you have difficulty understanding that and want to talk to me about it, we'll talk about it. If you're here this morning and you find that there's been no water flowing from you, or if you feel like Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones, that your Christian walk is just kind of dried up, there's not much to it, you have no joy in coming to church, you have no joy in serving, you have no joy in saying, "I'm a member of Cornerstone Baptist Church," then maybe we need to talk about that. Whatever it is, I'm going to ask Alex to come, Kathy to come. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. I just want you to think about these things this week, especially as you come next week. Be sure you're ready to come and worship and not worry about all the things surrounding that.